You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The PRISM report, issued by the Human Rights Commission, details 6 human rights issues related to people of diverse sexual orientation, gender identity and expression, or sex characteristics to help improve their lives. These are the right to freedom from discrimination, information, recognition before the law, the highest attainable level of health, education and work. The report makes recommendations to policymakers on addressing issues raised through the Commission's community consultations and research. I spoke to author of the report, Tane Polkinghorne, on the background of the report, the lack of legislation to protect our Rainbow community, lack of access to healthcare and mental health, the impact of colonisation of diversity and fluidity in gender expression and sexual orientation, and the difficulties faced by our transgender migrants, refugees and asylum seekers. I begin by asking Tane on the background of the report.
So the whakapapa and the history of this report takes us back 2 years ago to 2018, when the Human Rights Commission held 5 hui, or community meetings, with people from our diverse rainbow communities. These were held in Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, and there was a fourth one speaking to transgender prisoners, and a fifth one specifically for disabled rainbow people. Now, these meetings, these hui, involved the Commission really listening to our communities rather than talking for them or at them, and they served a purpose to inform this report that we've released last week. So this report hopes to amplify the voices of our rainbow communities by shining a light on the progress that is still so desperately needed for us.
Mm. Particularly, I was reading up on, there was a segment that talked about the effect of colonisation on the understanding and acceptance of our rainbow communities.
In the 1800s, with the colonisation of Aotearoa New Zealand, that fundamentally changed the way that people with diverse expressions of sexuality and gender were able to live and enjoy their lives. And it was a real rupture in the way that society, within their societies and communities, prior to the arrival of European settlers, those diverse identities were accepted within Te Ao Māori. And So the report talks about how the negative impact of colonisation on gender and sexual fluidity, which was accepted in traditional Māori society, has had and continues to have really significant and dramatic and negative consequences to this day.
And I wanted to ask about intersectionality in terms of the support given for our queer people of colour and takatāpui and different able-bodiedness and, you know, other, just being a person, the other facets that come with being a person and living through life. And so do you think currently that there is enough support given in terms of an intersectional understanding of being queer?
I think we need a whole lot more. What we do know is when a person has more than one minority identity, that they tend to face more discrimination, not less. And we see this particularly reflected in health outcomes, in education outcomes, and in other areas of society. What we don't have is a really good, sound understanding of how these different parts of ourselves make us who we are. And so being queer or trans or intersex is only one small part of who we are, and we hold a lot of other identities and histories and whakapapa within each of us.
When I was researching a little while ago, was that there hasn't been a lot of substantial study on our rainbow community in terms of statistics and numbers and data, and so are we seeing a shift towards this?
I would like to say that we are, yes. Our National Statistics Agency, StatsNZ, is starting to do some great work in this area, but we need so much more. One of the most significant challenges that I face in my role as the Human Rights Commission's advisor on our rainbow communities is the lack of data that we have. And this unmet need for information presents a really considerable obstacle to resolving many of the issues that our communities face, because you cannot measure human rights without data, and that contradiction between the invisibility and the desire for proof is really frustrating for those of us who work in the space to improve the lives of our rainbow people in Aotearoa.
And I also wanted to ask particularly on the kind of difficulties that our transgender community face in terms of the official identity. So when having the preferred gender and having the correct name on these documents. And so what kind of difficulties are being faced at the moment?
For our transgender whānau?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the points that we make right up front in this report is that our sexuality diverse communities have had the benefits of rapid gains in social acceptance. However, the pace of change for those with diverse gender identities and gender expressions and sex characteristics has been much slower. This report outlines the human rights that can help to design and deliver effective and fair and inclusive policies. And at the end of each of the six chapters, we've included a number of recommendations, primarily for the attention of our policy and decision makers. And those recommendations are aimed at ensuring that our rainbow people, including our transgender intersex whānau, have and enjoy the same rights as other people in New Zealand. That's a really important point. These are not new rights or special rights. They are human rights.
Particularly our trans and gender diverse and non-binary community, mental health rates are particularly low and particularly a difficult part, along with also access to healthcare in general. And so what changes are you hoping to see in terms of healthcare and mental health support?
We need to see really significant change in our health access because it is very clear, and this has been repeated throughout national, international research, that it is the stigma and the discrimination that are the barriers to full and equal participation in society and not a person's rainbow identity. So you've outlined very correctly that mental health outcomes tend to be a lot poorer amongst transgender and intersex people, and that's absolutely true. But it's not because they're transgender, it's because of the treatment, the stigma, the discrimination and marginalisation and violence that they face in our societies.
Because in terms of discrimination and hate speech, what's being done currently to address that? Hate speech and discrimination, I think, something that in general the community suffers a lot. I think recent trends, we've just seen people argue freedom of expression, and one just has to flick through the stuff comment section too.
Especially when those comments aren't turned off.
Yeah, they just go off. Particularly, that's really difficult enough with issues around race. And so it's just heartbreaking to know that that is also happening as well for our rainbow community.
Absolutely. Look, there are so many multiple comprehensive reviews that show that our rainbow people experience really high risks of physical and sexual violence in the general population, as well as volumes of hate speech. And the rainbow community leaders that we have spoken to have told the Commission that they're really concerned about this. They have observed, for example, that hate speech tends to be violence-oriented or sexually explicit, and it's everywhere. Its ubiquity online and throughout the media causes real harm. People have noticed that these concerns are mirroring an international rise in hate speech, and as you rightly pointed out, it doesn't just affect our rainbow communities, but also rangatahi whenua, also migrants, also refugees, disabled people, women, and many other groups as well. The Human Rights Commission has been in contact with the Ministry of Justice, and the Minister of Justice is fast-tracking a review of New Zealand's hate speech laws following the March 15th terrorist attacks last year. So the review that the ministry is conducting will inform any government decisions, which could, for example, include deciding whether current hate speech provisions should be expanded to cover other grounds of discrimination, for example, sexual orientation, gender identity.
Mm. Currently, what protections are in place for our rainbow community in terms of discrimination?
Yeah, very few. So our Human Rights Act prohibits discrimination based on a person's sexual orientation, but it doesn't yet extend that protection to people with a diverse gender identity, gender expression, or sex characteristics. One of the recommendations that we make in PRISM is to amend the Human Rights Act to include those three extra grounds under the ground of sex. Discrimination has a very specific meaning when we use it at the Human Rights Commission, and that is to be treated unfairly or less favourably than others in similar circumstances. At the moment, the Human Rights Commission does accept complaints of discrimination from transgender and intersex people, so the way that we interpret the law allows them to come to us with discrimination complaints. But the law doesn't specify that, and so what we need to see is legislative change to ensure that our communities are recognised under the Human Rights Act and discrimination against them is prohibited.
In terms of our health curriculum in high schools, I think that's something that was talked about a little while ago, but in terms of a comprehensive education and that is inclusive of our Rainbow community, and especially in supporting, I think it's pretty tough being a teenager already. And so, I mean, what changes do you hope to see in that area?
Bullying is a significant issue for all young people in school. New Zealand has significant rates of bullying over and above many other developed countries. What we know is that many schools don't have specific anti-discrimination policies and guidelines for their teachers that name our rainbow students. And we need to see that change. We need improvement because our young people need the support. They need to feel safe in their school environment, and schools have an obligation to provide that.
And this is something that is quite specific, but I guess recently I was talking with a friend of mine who is transgender and is also a refugee and has experienced a lot of difficulties in terms of having the process of immigration and difficulties with having official documents recognised. And so in terms of that intersection of being part of the transgender and gender diverse community and also being a refugee and also being a migrant, what is being done in that area?
I'm so glad you asked this question because while it affects a small number of people, the impact on their lives is significant. For refugees and asylum seekers who arrive to New Zealand, they may not have the correct identity documents, or those documents may not reflect who they are. So maybe the photo, the name, the gender marker on their passports or travel documents may be out of date. And this has significant flow-on effects. If you cannot change your name, and there are a number of countries around the world where you cannot change your name, you cannot open a bank account in the right name. You may not be able to get a job in the correct name. You may have problems with applying for StudyLink or for benefit. One of the recommendations that we include is to enable transgender and intersex refugees and asylum seekers to be able to obtain official identity documents which reflect their gender and name based on a statutory declaration, so a written document, until they can change those details using the processes which we have in New Zealand for our permanent residents.
Closing up the interview, it's a pretty big, meaty, substantial report. And so if there were, you know, the few points that you would want someone to take away from the report, what would they be? You know, what are the places that are most surprising to you, or the sections that you would want to highlight?
Sorry.
It's okay. It's a hard question because I think, you know, there's so many issues and so many pressing concerns. But yeah, if we were to pull out like the ones that you'd love to see some changes or some progress happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I would say is that the issues that the Human Rights Commission has raised are not new. Exclusion and discrimination have a social and an economic cost, and this report seeks to provide just a baseline understanding for greater future discussion and collaboration. Our recommendations come from the voices of the community members that we spoke to So what we are trying to do is amplify their voices and create some real change, shine a light on what is still needed to advance the human rights of our rainbow communities in Aotearoa.
Mm, brilliant.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.